Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is John Wadsworth, and I'd like to talk to you this morning out of the Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the books of beginnings, and we're going to finish up the introductions. This morning, first we're going to cover the principles of interpretation, and then we'll discover the I'll read the anticipation for eternity. Principles of interpretation. Many writers on Genesis have emphasized an allegorical approach to its meaning. This has been especially true of interpretations of the first 11 chapters. Expositors of liberal and neo-orthodox persuasion have rejected the historicity of these records, but have tried to salvage theological values from them by a spiritualizing interpretation. Thus, Adam is not considered to be a real person, but rather a symbolic representation of all men. The fall was not an actual act of disobedience by the first man and woman, but rather a figurative expression of the common experience of all men, and so on. So allegorical exegesis must, however, be rejected by serious Bible students. As already noted, the writers of New Testament and Jesus Christ himself accepted the Genesis record as literal history. It is arrogant and presumptuous for modern-day scholars to undertake to correct Christ and the apostles on this vital matter. There are no allegories in Genesis, unless the dream interpretation of Joseph are so described. The symbols in these dreams, of course, represented real events and were so interpreted by Joseph, coming to pass historically exactly as he had said. Some might feel that Galatians 4:24, which says that these things are an allegory, referring to the story of Hagar and Sarah, warrants an allegorizing approach to Genesis. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Apostle Paul simply uses the spiritual principles by which God dealt with Abraham, his wives and sons, to illustrate eternal principles by which he deals with all men. He does make an allegorical application, but not an allegorical interpretation. Abraham and Isaac, Sarah and Hagar were, to Paul, real people, as the context clearly demonstrates. The events described in Genesis really happened to these real people, and it is because of this very fact that Paul can draw his conclusions as to the spiritual implication of these events as they relate to God's plans for mankind as a whole. Many other writers, while not rejecting the historicity of Genesis, emphasize the typological interpretations of these events rather than their actual temporal significance. The characters and experiences of Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and others are taken as types of experiences in the life of Christ, or the people of Israel, or of other church, or other something else. Some writers are often very reverent and spiritual in their expositions and certainly believe in the historicity of Genesis and in the verbal inspiration of the scripture. Nevertheless, they often tend to go far beyond what is actually written by indulging in such excessive typology, and there is serious question whether their interpretations are really warranted. There is no question, of course, that some of the portions of Genesis are treated as a type of the New Testament. The first Adam is taken as a contrasting type of the second Adam, Romans 5:12 through 19, and 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 22, and verses 45 to 47, taken as a type of church, Ephesians 5:29 through 33. Abraham and Isaac are discussed as a type of the father offering up his only begotten son, Hebrews 11:17 through 19. Perhaps other typological interpretations are occasionally justified, even when not explicitly expounded as such as the New Testament. An example of this would be the experiences of Joseph, which seem to parallel those of Christ in such a detailed fashion as to be inexplicable as mere coincidence. It should never be forgotten, however, that types must be considered only as illustrations or applications, not as doctrinal interpretations. Except the extent that the inspired New Testament writers themselves make such applications a part of their own doctrinal systems, neither should it be forgotten that whatever value typological applications may have will depend first of all on the actual historicity of the events so utilized. In this commentary, therefore, the emphasis will be placed primarily on the exposition of the actual events and their historical significance in terms of God's purpose for the world in general, and as principles by which he deals with individuals of all times and places. Typology or typological illustrations will be included where appropriate, but would not constitute the primary emphasis. We wish to stress, most of all, the real-life truthfulness and significance of this primeval record of man's origin and early history. And for right now, I'm going to end this so I can go to church, and I'll finish this portion up later today. God bless you.